We can get this thing going. All right, let me hit the intro and we'll go. So now, hey everyone, officially welcome to the Dash Podcast number 210. I'm joined by the one and only Mikhail Chenichnikov, or Chinnik, as the handle is everywhere else. How's it going, man?
Hi, I'm doing pretty well. I was resting the last few hours, so I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah, that's cool. Seems to be a little bit of a crackling sound right around the microphone. I don't know what that might be.
I see.
But yeah, so I've been meaning to talk to you for a long time, and probably a month ago I tried, and then I forgot I double scheduled the show, and so I apologize for that.
That's it.
But
it's okay.
I know you from mostly Dash Incubator and all the work there, but you know, done a bunch of other things in the Dash ecosystem as well, and most of the projects that I seem to care about personally seem to be something you're working on, or you know, a lot of the projects I see being complete or doing really well, you know, that seem to be from there. So you know, figured it'd be a good time to get a good chat on this. So really quickly, why don't you explain who you are, your background, and how you got into crypto in general?
Well, it's pretty long time since my first, I think I got in the first into crypto with there was a CPU mining at the time. It was like 2011, 2012. Well, I was just searching through websites. I was studying the high school at that time. And I found some CPU mining stuff. I was trying that, but I seen that it wasn't worth at that time, but I mined me like few coins. Then I was able to sell them at 2013 pump, almost at the high point. So I got like my first money. So it was pretty great. But at the time, I wasn't like developing. I was just, you know, like administrating some stuff, some servers. Maybe I was setting up some, you know, scripts and forums. But I wasn't really coding. Mm. Then I was working at one place. There were a banking company. So I was. Working at a different role, so something like office stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I was doing great at the reports. There were a couple of reports, and I was able to automate it. So they just switched me to the developer role. That was like 2015. Mm-hmm. And 2016, there was a huge rise of the interest in around crypto and blockchain, because there were at the Ethereum shooting, so there were a lot of things going on with Ethereum. So it was at this time also the mining was raising, like the income was raising with the GPU mining on the Ethereum and all the stuff. So I was starting digging out like all of this. And I was starting doing some backend stuff, I think. Like I was trying to do some payment gateways. I was doing some mining pool stuff. I remember I was doing some stuff for Zcoin. I remember there was something about mining pool. So their algo wasn't working. And so I was doing some stuff for mining pools as well. So yeah, then somewhere around 2017, I completely switched to the blockchain projects. So I was starting doing some smart contracts. Actually, I wasn't writing the whole smart contracts stuff. Like I was like more like editing stuff. I was more like editing the smart contract stack, and you know, I was doing some simple stuff like wasting contracts, you know, some lock contracts that just lock stuff for some period. Not really complex projects. So yeah, then was a couple projects that I was working on, and yeah, at 2000, I think, yeah, it was 2022. So I found a position by DCG, and Victoria hired me. So I was able to pass all the interviews by Sam, by Ivan Shumkov. Also, Anton was also interviewing me. So they eventually hired me. I was working for a quite time for DCG, and then some first layoff was happening. So there was an option to just move to an incubator. So I started to work for incubators instead. So now here where we are, like I'm doing my job, and I pretty like it. I think that Dash is pretty good at tech, and that like caught me. like the thing that I'm doing here is pretty good, and I'm also working on my own brand, so that also, you know, like impressed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And so the incubator thing has been where I really kind of noticed the thing. One thing that I have noticed is one thing we have to, you know, I guess the elephant in the room thing to address is DCG was the largest entity in the entire Dash ecosystem for very many years and probably still is today. And with recent fund drawdowns because of market conditions, there have been a few different layoffs, and in some cases you just have to do, you know, just have to do layoff. But then there have been other cases, such as yourself, and you know, where there's been very valuable people to the project that just because DCG didn't have the budget for doesn't mean it couldn't end up in other places in the Dash ecosystem. And so that is something that I do like about having a DAO and funding like that, is the ability to keep people kind of involved, you know, keep the good people involved in some way, shape, or form, even if they can't
work
in one capacity. And so, yeah, I'm very happy you managed to be retained by the incubator.
Yeah. I also think that it's much more valuable for the people itself, because it, like, you have to, like, make all the work public. You have to, like show what you're doing, like, you know, work with community, and I think that also makes some effect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. So how did you get started with the incubator initially? Was it just did you get actively recruited? Did you see a bounty you wanted to do? How did that turn out?
The transition was hard for me, to be honest, because I was working in the DCG, you know, I was paid by the hours, and in incubator it's totally the different scheme. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know how all the workflow was working, and it took quite time to understand all the stuff, how all the things is working. So the first project was suggested by Ivan, so it's Dashmate. So we started the concept with the code contribution to the Dashmate. Mm-hmm. And I started doing this stuff. First time, it was hard for me because DCG and Dash Incubator at that time, they're like completely separate, and I had to like communicate with both sides, and so It was my first project, like the Dashmate. I was doing the migration of infrastructure team that were using some Docker Compose stuff. I was migrating the deployment of nodes in the network, into testnet and the devnets on the Dashmate itself. So, we wanted to integrate Dashmate into our networks so that we will ensure that it's correctly working, when people will run their nodes. So, yeah. After some time, I just understood that working on one project is not like that efficient, or I had to take more projects to me. So then I remember that you and Ryan and AnyPay proposed to make a concept for contributing into this project. They needed some help. So the work that was needed was they asking was pretty fits me. They needed to set up a CI workflows for continuous deployment of AnyPay merged app application. So previously they were working with some freelance people that were just building the application locally and then setting out the builds in the messengers. But we set up a continuous deployment pipelines via CircleCI that allowed AnyPay to release application without sharing the keys, just through the CI through merging the code. Then I took some more and more project, and now there's quite a long list already. And I think I have ideas for more projects as well.
Of course. Well, so let's start with then. When did you start? When did you decide to become, or what was the process for deciding to become an incubator strategist? Because right now there's a proposal in there under your name that's funded So basically you're leading up a lot of development just on your own there. And it's kind of one of the ways the incubator works is sort of through the main basic structure. Other people are basically able to just use the existing infrastructure, but basically start their entirely new initiatives as long as they conform to certain, reporting and task rules and things like that. So, so from just being someone who does a few tasks, to someone who is leading a project, what was that project? What was that process like?
The strategists own some concepts, some projects, and they can set up tasks for people, for devs. And usually, strategists communicate with the developers, and just developers make some tasks or propose some tasks, or task may be proposed from other entity, maybe for someone else from the community, and strategies just adds it to the trailer and just assigns a task. The reward is being set by the developer, so strategies just ensure that everything they just insert the task into the trailer and just approve it. So originally Ryan suggested to join as strategist of the Dash Incubator. So it was his idea, and that was because I was I had an idea of attending some more developers into Dash Incubator. For example, one of my close friends now also work for Dash Incubator. He's doing some stuff for AnyPay. He was doing some UI redesign on their checkout page. He also already done some work for the Platform Explorer. So yeah, and it was like, so Ren just proposed me to have my own budget and just handle projects myself, because I have the skills, I have the vision, I have like, I know things like, you know, how it should be working. I know how the flow should look like.
Yeah. Yes, that's how the projects go. And so, moving back to, I guess, this list here from the proposal, of some of the projects you're working on are Platform Explorer, Dashmate, AnyPay, and Electrum. And so, why don't we briefly mention a few of these things? So like, for example, the Platform Explorer, right? Do you mind giving a quick overview of what that is and what the progress is currently?
So Platform Explorer is a chain explorer for Dash platform layer 2 chain. So you can see blocks, you can see transactions, you can see decoded transactions, you can see the identities, you can see the data contracts and the documents. You can view the content of the tokens and data contract schemas. So it's mostly looks like the Insight Explorer or any other blockchain explorer, but just specifically for Dash platform. It already has the basic features, like it can show the identity balance, it can show the identity transfers, transactions, you know, and it already have a backend API, so other developers, third-party developers can already use that for acquiring stuff on the Dash platform if they need something. So we had like five iterations, 5 2-week iterations, and the basic stuff is there. We can think about new features, but right now, like, there's nothing like major. So I gotta think up of bundle of new tasks that we can build up, and or maybe just make some partial tasks partially, I don't know. So yeah, right now it's in the working state, so feel free to use it.
Yeah.
Or you can propose your chains.
Yeah, and so obviously, because the Platform Explorer and platform's still in testnet, shaky testnet, but then obviously you can see what's going on there. And I have to say, from a relatively non-technical standpoint, I love being a good block explorer, because I don't, I'm not a developer, I'm not technically minded, but I do like to look at statistics and analytics, things like that. And as someone who's used so many different wallets and services and things like that throughout the years, they fail a lot. Not a lot, but over a 10-year period of using crypto every month, at least, if not every week or day, there will be times when a wallet will say it sent and it didn't send, or it will say, you know, it won't say it sent, but then the money won't be there. And then what do? You go to a block explorer, because that's the source of truth, kind of. That's for the average person who doesn't run in their own node. And so I have a feeling with this is going to be one of the, whenever we do get usernames, this is going to be one of the best tools that I use to show people, hey, look, you see this stuff? It's all here, too. It's on the actual Block Explorer. It's not just, you can find it on the Block Explorer. It's not just some Venmo-like app lying to you saying that you have decentralized data. Yeah, so that's pretty interesting. Let me see. I'm going to pull up now the Dashmate repo thing here. So, I'm not super familiar with Dashmate, you know, more or less, but because it's not something, it's not really an end user kind of product. I don't know too much about it. So why don't you explain what is Dashmate and what's the work you've done on it so far?
Yeah, the Dashmate is a tool for setting up and running your masternodes. for any Meister node. You can even run the full node. I can run an Eva node. So it's a software built by DCG, and it is official tool for running Eva nodes. So the DCG will be strictly relying on this tool in production, and it will be the only so Meister node setting up software that will be officially supported. And yeah, I think we are working closely with Ivan Shukov, and so there were different stuff. So basically, usually I just receive some reports from the community. Also, I had some features that requested by DCG by Ivan. So he just says me like something important that we would like to work on. So I just take over his stuff. So just, you know, offload the DCG with some tasks. For example, recently I was upgrading the whole platform project to the Node 12, and that's the latest Node.js version. So there was a lot of changes. So it's just like, you know, just a big, hard, like, you know, manual work for updating all the dependencies and resolving issues. So yeah, so mostly we're just working together with Ivan, and yeah, thinking what can we do next. Also, I'm receiving a lot of feedbacks from the community, like I'm watching the Discord, I'm watching the Dash forums constantly. So I try to react on all of the questions just instantly, like as soon as I can. So I also prepare some hot fixes from the community, like if something is not working in the community, I just quickly prepare a hot fix and release a new platform version so they can, like, you know, unblock some people and some stuff.
Yeah, well, that's nice. So definitely a crucial part of infrastructure that will definitely work out for, you know, with all, especially all the new node types for infrastructure, Eva nodes, etc. Now let's hit on AnyPay, which, for, I can give some little context to this. So some friends of mine, Derek and Steven, started this thing called AnyPay that was originally sort of to be modeled after the original BitPay payment processor, and basically it was their idea was to just have a simple merchant interface so that merchants locally to them could take crypto. And at first it was Bitcoin, then they did Bitcoin Cash and Dash and all that, and then they got really big into Bitcoin SV for a while. But then it turns out that it became very useful and critical for Dash, and then they sort of deprecated support, or they stopped maintaining the front-end apps for AnyPay, and they just were working on the back-end APIs. And so that made it so that it was very difficult for a lot of the local merchants, at least in my area, to use it. And so that's where I kind of put it a concept in. And since then, it's been working really pretty well. Like, I've had no complaints. There's a lot of people who've experienced their first crypto purchase for a real service with AnyPay thanks to this. So yeah, I'm a big fan. So would you just go over from your perspective what this is and how your work has been on it so far?
Yeah. So AnyPay, for those who didn't know, like, it's a self-custodial payment processor, so that you as a merchant can just download an application from App Store and, you know, use it like a terminal. You just put the amount in your, like, in USD or stuff like that, and the QR code will be generated to pay this invoice. So yeah, I was doing some stuff for the AnyPay. Like, the first of the tasks was to get rid of the errors. It was just blanked out, like there was a white screen when you were using the applications. So Yeah, what I done, I just fixed it by upgrading all of the dependencies. So there are a few parts of in this Inipay projects. Like there is a mobile application which used by the merchants. There is a Inipay backend which processes all of the stuff, all of your invoices. And there is a front-end project, like there is a website and also the checkout form, which gets redirected when you copy your QR code, like when you open your QR code, if you want to pay through your desktop, through your browser, you just open up this link and you will get on the page where you can select the payment options, you know, and pay via different cryptocurrencies. So I went through all of these projects. So I now I understand the code base of all of these parts. So we can even say that we know all of the stuff that is going, like if anything will be, if anything is happening in the project, like any type of error, I'm able to debug all of the stuff to the end. So that's pretty good because it allows Dash to rely on this stuff, to have this kind of payment processor available to anyone.
Yeah. Has there been any thought of making it more owned by Dash in some way? So, for example, have a little logo that says powered by Dash on it. Or on another side of things, maybe because the way the thing, the payment protocol splits off some money to Anypay and most of it goes to the merchant, would it be possible to do something like that for Dash or the incubator?
Yeah, they constantly asking me about that, but, you know, I'm not like a designer, but... they propose that every time, but I just always forget, like, where should I put it, like, how do I style it? So if you have ideas, I'm ready to do it. Like, they always suggest to put the Dash logo when you open up the checkout page. Just put it, like, somewhere around.
Yeah. I wonder, so what about the profit share kind of part of things? Is that something that would be easy to do in the front end, or does that have to be Anypay themselves does something about that? Like, so for example, go ahead.
What share? Sorry.
Like, so the way it currently works when you send a payment through Anypay is most of the money goes to the merchant, but you do also pay Anypay themselves with every transaction, right? They get a little piece of that. And so... is it possible to add a third piece that would go just to the incubator, for example, that gives a little stream?
Maybe. Extra? It's possible. Technically, it's possible. But I don't know if it's worth it because there are honestly not that much merchants enabled in the Anypay. I don't know. Like, technically, I can do that. We haven't thought about that yet.
Yeah. That might be something interesting to think about because obviously adoption is adoption and any place you can spend Dash is good. However, it's also a very interesting tool that can help a lot of other cryptocurrencies be spent instead of Dash. And Dash is paying all the money and doing all the effort to make this available. And obviously a little branding on that helps, but it would be nice to, I'm always looking at ways of adding sustainability into projects where, you know, now what if you start, now you have an incentive to start onboarding a whole lot of different merchants, not you specifically, obviously, but someone has the incentive to do that for Dash. And so then every time someone pays with Litecoin or something, it still benefits the Dash ecosystem. That's kind of like the DIF with the Dash Investment Foundation. did. But just something to think about. It's not, if it if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out, you know?
I got what you mean. It's a good idea.
All right, we'll think about that. And then finally, Electrum. That's another one that I know a little bit about. So the Dash Electrum is just a fork of regular Bitcoin Electrum. So many Electrums in so many Bitcoin-based currencies. But the difference with the Dash one specifically, historically, has been that first of all, there's a mobile wallet. I don't know if there's a mobile Electrum for every crypto, but also that it formally, I mean, it does have, but formally had functioning the CoinJoin mixing, the private send functionality. And that's was my primary interest in personally in using Electrum, but also of it is a very good wallet for like importing different things. Like, for example, I had my backup, but I lost a physical hardware wallet device. And so I had almost nothing on there, but I needed to get it. And the only good tool to get it out was Electrum because of the way the seed phrase worked with, I think it was the 25 word seed, you know, with an extra word. And so it's a valuable tool for that. When I started doing the marketing hub, I did a whole lot of these, of payments through Electrum because it allowed me to copy and paste all these addresses and then all these amounts and just do one big batched payment. And since doing it with Dash Core now, it's not as good. It still works fine. So, but more importantly, it seems like Electrum infrastructure is very important for a lot of things. And we had an interesting, like the last developer of Electrum had over the years, you know, I think he did a good enough job, but some people said he would charge too much or whatever. And then it was, he ran into some personal issues, which caused the project to not really be able to be funded and work the way it used to. And so the transition period has been tough where there was no one maintaining that. I was freaking out. I'm like, no, someone needs to do this. And then no one wanted to do it. And then we finally got Bertrand, which thank you very much, Bertrand, to do some work on this and kind of keep it functioning, and ultimately just didn't have the budget or the availability to be able to really work on this enough to do it. And so now you're doing stuff on it. So would you mind giving a quick overview of Electrum and then the work so far you've done on it?
I took over the Electrum like a few months ago, maybe 2 months ago, and there are not much work done yet, but we already fixed the Electrum server part for the latest V12 hard fork. So that was the original like thing to do, because I needed to set up the new infrastructure, and the infrastructure wasn't working because the server was missing some details of for V12 hard fork. And then we got fixed it. There is another guy which helps me with the Electrum stuff, the Python guy. I'm not really the Python guy, so I'm work more like with JS. So he helps me with some algo stuff. I was able to set up a new infrastructure because the previous infrastructure was still run by the previous developers. I think there was something around B2Pool or stuff on, whatever. So their software was out of date, and the user couldn't use the Dash Electrum, though the client was working, but the server part wasn't working because it was just simply running out of date. There were new versions of the Dash coming in, and they weren't updating it. So I set up a new infrastructure, got all the servers working, and yeah, made a new release of the Electron, so anyone who downloaded it can just use it straight right away. No need to insert custom servers in the wallet, it will be picked up. Yeah, so the plans right now is to recover the private send feature. That's the thing that we're working on right now. Also, I believe there were some changes already around with Valve hard fork, but I'm not sure, I need to recheck the server part. Yeah, but the most major feature that we want to bring back in is the private send. So the thing is, private send is not working because there were some changes in the LLM queue quorums that settle those coin join payments. Mm-hmm. So I think it won't take like that much to fix it. We just need to focus on it and make it done. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I do remember when I started having problems with that is because I started running into like the ProTX data had to sync all the way before you could start mixing, and it would just not mix at a certain point. It used to, and then there you go. And so, yeah, that seems like hopefully it's a simple enough of a fix. Now, this is admittedly something that I care less about today because I know that mixing in the mobile wallet is in the official mobile wallet, right? The official Dash One is coming, and I'm looking at it, and the user experience seems really nice. Very smooth, but it's like obviously different tools. Electrum is not a your grandmother type wallet, you know. It's for, you know, more advanced tooling. But I do think that we've had an interesting experience with Dash being Darkcoin for years, and this is the flagship technology of Dash before the pivot to, you know, some transactions and other things like that. And I have recently compared it to some other privacy technologies, some other coin join implementations in other crypto projects. And I'm not nearly an expert, and I wish I was, because I'd like to be more educated on this. But it seems like Dash has one of the best ones out there as far as it's really like fast and efficient and doesn't have the toxic change problem that other cryptos have and stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree.
And then if you compare it to other coins like Mimblewimble coins and stuff, they're comparable in different ways. Like Mimblewimble has some advantages, but also has some structural trade-offs, things like that. And so the point is, having Dash has this history, and this is my little rant, I guess, but Dash has this history of building really great things that no one uses. And that goes for like all of Dash, kind of. And so I want to get more people using Dash, but also I want to get more people who are using Dash to use all the features. And right, for almost entirely Dash's history, the only way you could use its privacy functionality was through the full node core wallet. And then for a brief period of time, you had one Electrum and then two Electrum wallets that also let you do that, and then stopped working. And then you also had a custodial MyDash wallet that had a thing that did that. But honestly, the privacy benefits of using that were never that good anyway. But so now we're back to, you know, Dash is almost 10 years old, and it's old. You have to have a full node to use the basic privacy feature. And I'd really like to have the mobile wallet and the Electrum and then the other Electrum wallet all to enable this feature, and because then we can start we have a base of technologies that then we can start implementing these features into other wallets that aren't Dash only. And there's been a lot of demand for that. I've noticed with there's a lot of new people interested in Dash through the Maya protocol, and the first thing they always ask after, oh great, is how do I use the privacy feature? And it's like, well, the answer is never a good answer. It's never a great, fun answer to that. So basically, this is something I care a lot about. I'm glad it's moving forward. And I would really, you know, I think it's going to be a great you know, and there's a lot of the arguably like tighter privacy technologies out there, like the Monero approach or the zero knowledge membership proof of Zcash, have some issues with them that I think someday, at least with zero knowledge proofs, I personally believe that someday soon, like in the next 5 or so years, it'll be able to be done easily enough. But right now, there's a big trade-off in doing that you don't have if you use Dash, for example. If you manage to just keep mixing in the background and then it's just always easy to send, you can have your Lite wallet, you don't have to sync a wallet for a while, you don't have to wonder where your transaction went. There's all these benefits of using Dash's privacy. Even though it's the old school privacy, there's still some benefits of using it today. So, yeah, that's kind of my little rant there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's good to have this private set feature in the both, like in the DashPay wallet and in the Electrum, because mm-hmm. when you maintain stuff, you have to follow up each site, like when the new protocol is being upgraded. And you have to update your applications, and all of the sites have to update their parts, so that like keeps a good, like, you know, good, that everyone like follows these standards, like, you know, and mm-hmm. eventually we will have the better support in the community.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because we will have more coders, more devs that know what is going on.
Yeah, and part of that is, I guess, my job, because I have to help grow the Dash ecosystem, make more people using it, more people interested in it, so then you don't have to look for that one guy who can work on this project, or, you know,
yeah.
Lots of things around, lots of money around to pay for things like that. So are there any other projects you're... major projects, let's just say, that you're working on right now?
So I think I have plans on some projects. For example, we still miss the browser extension that will work for the platform things. Like, I know that there is some work is going on with the integration of some providers like Wallet Connect or stuff like that. This work is being done by Paul from DCG, from the research team. But I'm thinking of a way of doing that, like having our own extension without relying on some third-party like things, you know. And we had the chat already about that, and I think this should just make their own way through, like, as I understood. Maybe I'm not quite correct, sorry. So they just want to integrate via some stuff like Wallet Connect to make more adoption that makes sense. But I also want to make the stuff that will unblock the current developer from making, like, for now, if you're developing a dev in the platform, you have to put your own seed into a website that's kind of dumb. So,
of course,
like when you're visiting the website, like, you have to have just an extension that you already have the keys in, or have a mobile or stuff like that. So, so I'm already doing some research in that stuff. How can we do that? Also, there is a demand on the mobile applications. So how the platform applications will be working on the mobile environment. Mm-hmm. So Sam had thoughts that, Sam from DCG, so he had some thoughts that we might want to make a Jamba application in the mobile first, like, they already have WASM DPP, Dash Platform Protocol made in WASM. So they soon should have a Rust SDK bindings that will allow to use all of the platform features on the mobile. So we might want to also look into that too. Yeah. So also I was talking with some Trust Wallet guys about adding instant send support into their wallet, because they still require some kind of confirmations for, I think they require like 3 or 6 confirmations to for incoming transactions in your wallet. However, they all instant send now. So yeah, I contacted the dev team and we're working on that for making it happen. So I think that's a pretty good idea. Like it's a good thing to have instant send support in the Trust Wallet.
Yeah, for sure. That is something that's very interesting, because there's two components to those kinds of things. One is developer support, as you were talking about, but the other is business development support, which is something that hopefully I'll be working on soon. So I'll kind of hit on this at the very end, but as I raised some money as part of a pre-proposal for something called Dash Growth to start biz dev and marketing, basically get that really going again for Dash, because right now there's very little of either. And if we have a proposal in right now, and if the proposal passes, then I'll hire Marina and we'll work full-time on this, you know, for the foreseeable future. Even if the proposal doesn't pass, then the 350 Dash, which is usually which would be like a 1 month salary or 1 month budget for the entire thing. I would just personally use that for 6 months doing a part-time role, doing some business development work. So even in worst case scenario, it's basically guaranteed that I'll be helping out running to different wallet providers and different things like that, and making the conversations of you should add Dash's instant send features, you should add Dash, you should do this, do that. And then I'll send them to you when they say, well, how do I do it? I'll be like, I know a guy, here we go.
yeah.
And on that subject, on the conversation about extensions and things like that, one of my favorite DeFi wallets, because I'm very new to the DeFi world, I'm kind of a dinosaur like a lot of the Dash people, right? But is the XDeFi wallet. And XDeFi is like a MetaMask competitor, and XDeFi has Bitcoin and Litecoin and Bitcoin Cash and maybe Dogecoin as well in there. And they just, as of today, I believe, voted to add in the Maya protocol support. So right now they support Thorchain native swaps in the wallet.
Cool.
They're adding cool. Maya, but now not yet, but they have not yet committed to adding Dash itself or the Maya swaps, just support for the Maya token so you could use the XDeFi wallet. So that's something we have to look into, is I think we can get Dash into this wallet, and there's already in there Canny, which I don't really know what it is other than a site where I upvote features that I want in all my platforms. There is something there to vote for Dash that's been there for about a year or so. So hopefully we can get Dash into XDeFi, not just as a currency coin, but also for platform support and stuff too. Because I think that we can learn a lot from Litecoin in some ways. That Litecoin has done a really good job with connections, with being in every single wallet and service out there, period. And what they have not done a good job in is having good native wallets and apps. Like I use the Litecoin, I have tried out briefly the Litecoin Foundation wallet, the Lite wallet or whatever. It's really dated. It's not that good. It's whatever. It's not that great. But the Dash native products, like the Dash Core wallet, I really like, even though it's a full node wallet, I use it a lot. The mobile wallet is the best crypto digital cash wallet in existence, and I've tried a lot of them, and I've even advised on some projects on how to improve them, and it's still the best one. So I think that Dash can take its advantages, but learn from Litecoin too and get in all these things. So yes, Dash does need its native browser extension, and it also needs to be in alongside all the DeFi chains in things such as XDeFi. And as another kind of aside, and this is where I don't understand, because I don't use MetaMask much anymore, but MetaMask, I believe, is the most used crypto wallet right now in the world. And they have a Snap, which is like an extension to their extension, that for Shapeshift, which basically lets you use Shapeshift to then use ThorChain to swap Bitcoin for Ethereum, for Bitcoin Cash, for all the ThorChain assets. And so we're also in talks with Shapeshift to get Maya and all its assets, including Dash, added to Shapeshift, because they're looking into adding Maya because of, I believe, Arbitrum support in the future, but also because of all the rest. And so if we get into Shapeshift, then you will be able to swap anything for Dash in MetaMask as well at some point, I think. So we're getting there. We're getting to lots of cool spots where we can use a lot of good things for Dash. Hopefully I can make your life easier, but also harder by giving you a lot more work to do.
That sounds great. That sounds great, actually.
Yeah, so TL did ask a question. He says, what would you say is the status of Dash platform on testnet right now?
It's currently operating. We can see by the Platform Explorer. I'm pretty sure it should say that. Mm-hmm. So it was down for quite a time, like previous week, but they managed to recover it like a week ago. The previous Friday. So there aren't a stable release yet, but the latest release candidate is working. For example, there were a lot of changes in the Dashmate, so mm-hmm. we were testing it quite time. Mm-hmm. So I'm finishing the last features, and the stable release should come soon. Generally, it's working right now.
Very nice. Okay, so if anyone has any other questions, please drop them in the live chat, such as YouTube or Twitter, especially because I'll see those earlier. This is it's exciting times. The other thing that I think is good with version 20 of Core coming out, which was supposed to be the companion one to Evolution, but they decided to advance it for different reasons. Hopefully we're going to have a 20% treasury instead of a 10%. And so that's great for full-on growth mode for Dash. We'll have more funds to do these kinds of things. And I really think that beyond just the treasury, I already have gotten some donations in Dash to start my own project, I would like to encourage a culture of starting projects and funding projects without having to wait for group consensus from the treasury. Like, if there's a specific wallet that works for specific users or something very, you know, that most people don't really care about, some people can still donate to development, to crowdfund development to get that going. And I really hope that this time, this last year, when people have had this attitude of like Dash can't afford anything because the treasury is too small, I hope that time is done, that we realize that we should not waste any money on things that do not make sense, but we should always have money available, even if it's from our own donations, to pay for things that will make that worth more money in the future by growing the ecosystem. And so that's kind of the overarching message I definitely like to communicate. Really quick before we wrap up, I'll just reiterate the proposal thing on my end. So I have a proposal in right now called Dash Growth that, as I already mentioned, is to make myself and Marina go full-time and in business development and marketing, specifically growth marketing. And I do believe that We already raised from donations the first month of expenses, and we're just going to the treasury for after that. But I really believe that we have the opportunity to grow Dash a lot in 2024. We have a lot of really cool things that are already out and we're working really well. And I've been studying a lot on growth marketing hacks and things like that, and especially growth on X, Twitter. And I've been doing quite well on myself, on my own personal channels for that. And I'm pretty sure we can do a lot of really cool things for Dash and get a lot of new users. And as I mentioned before, Dash is notorious for building awesome things that nobody uses. And I definitely want Dash to build more awesome things, but I think it's time to start getting more people to use it. And that's going to be my job, is to try to bring in the users and find a way that we can, or find what works to bring in users and what doesn't work, so that even if it's not me, it's other people, they still know what works. We have information, we have data that says this works, this doesn't work. And then we can throw money and resources and other things at the things that work and then just keep growing. And also to pursue an aggressive business development strategy, just like with Maya and Spritz, which those two have added so much value to the Dash ecosystem. Maya, obviously, so it's becoming very obvious these days, but Spritz for U.S. and now Canada-based users can pay all their bills and live entirely off of Dash with just one app. And so, unfortunately, that's not something that works very well for the Russian world, but I'm sure we'll find other ways to serve the Russian community as well. But yeah, so things are doing really well, I think. They're poised to do really well.
Sorry, could you repeat the last part? Sorry, just
about things are doing. We're in a good position to do very well next year, I think.
Yeah, exactly. I do think so too. I also would like to make more like content for developers, so I think that should mm-hmm. also work for us in a good way. Mm-hmm. So I made my first video on my YouTube channel, like it's just for installing a Dashmate on your Ubuntu, but I plan to make more videos, more guides, you know, some maybe videos for developers that should help them onboard into the project, how to develop platform apps and, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that will also help us grow.
Yeah, good stuff. So Hilal, we had one last question, I believe, which you just said. Yes, what's your tech stack? Is it mostly JavaScript? Like, what are the languages you mostly know?
I think that's just usually I do just JavaScript, but recently I started learning Rust, so it helps me to also understand the platform code, so the project, the Platform Explorer part, some of the backend part of the Platform Explorer was done in Rust. The indexer part. So yeah, I did some other languages, like I remember I was doing some Java. Can't quite remember, but I think that's not about the language, like what you use. It's more like how you know, handle stuff. Like I think I can read any code, just it will just take more time for me to read, you know, if I don't know any language. But generally this, like, you know, doesn't matter what exactly the language will be used.
All right, cool. Well, where could people follow you and find out more about your stuff? I'm just putting on to start out with your Twitter profile. I do see you doing some stuff.
I would like to share stuff in my Twitter. I also hang around a lot of in the Discord, so you can tag me in any channel, ask me any question in the Discord of the Dash Discord and the Dev Discord. I'm doing some stuff for Russian community as well. So there is a Telegram channel where I just post updates in Russian, but that's more for my for our Russian audience. So yeah, I think the Twitter is the main one that I would like to use more.
It definitely is a spot for growing, and at some point it appears that they may be integrating a crypto wallet, and you know, that would be crucial for Dash to get in there somehow. A long shot maybe for first iteration, but hopefully we can grow enough over the next 2 years to make sure that we're in the conversation everywhere that needs to be for the payments use case at least.
Yeah. So yeah, Alan should know something about Dash. I'm pretty sure he knows something about it, at least something.
Well, I'm sort of going to share one of my my Twitter hacks. I know how to get his attention. Is first of all, if you buy the Premium Plus subscriber thing for which is just $200 a year, you get a lot of boost of replies. But also, if you subscribe to someone individually, like you're a paid subscriber of an individual account, your replies go way to the top and you get tons of impressions from big accounts. So it should be very easy, like, you know, just buy the $200 a year or whatever thing for the Dash Twitter account, then pay the $5 a month or whatever to subscribe to Elon Musk's personal account, and then just tweet at him about you should look at integrating Dash, the best crypto, and he will probably see that. It's a very high likelihood he will see that. And so that's how we get his attention and get in there. That's the game. I figured it out. So that's one of the many tricks that we're going to be using to grow everything. So, all right, guys, everyone, thanks for watching. Thanks, Mikhail, for staying up so late. It's got to be, you know, midnight your time or something like that. Something crazy. Yeah, it's pretty late. So I'll let you get on to bed and on with your weekend. Everyone, thanks for watching. Thanks for... We're going to hopefully have an interesting Dash podcast next month, but I'll wait for that to happen. So, all right, guys, everyone, thanks. Bye-bye. Have a good weekend. I'll see you around. Stay dashy.
Chip.